Yeah. Hello and welcome to Communities Live, live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. I'm Oliver Dixon and I will be joined by Chris Sinelli just very shortly, in just a few moments' time. But introducing the show with three songs here on the show. Starting off with ZZ Top's Gimme All Your Lovin' from the album Eliminator, to honour really the late Frank Beard, the drummer who passed away just a couple of days ago. The ironic thing about Frank Beard is he was the only member of the band not to adopt the famous long beards, which Billy Gibbons and the late Dusty Hill adopted during the mid-70s. And Frank Beard, the man with no beard, as he was named, nicknamed, was kept it. He had a goatee, so he had some beard, but not the famous long beards. And next was Dancing Queen from ABBA, celebrating 50 years at the end of last week, and 50 years of having the time of your life, as they say, from the album Arrival. And just finishing the start of the show with a bit of Bon Jovi with Wanted Dead or Alive, from the album Slippery When Wet, celebrating 40 years just the other day too. 40 years, and arguably their most successful album, with tracks such as Wanted Dead or Alive, You Give Love a Bad Name, and of course the famous song Living on a Prayer. We do have a good show today. It's just the two of us. Unfortunately, Lewis and Brad couldn't be here, so we hope to see them soon. Hoping for a full house, actually, at some point, because it's been a while. It feels like a while anyways. But we're going to jump into the next song whilst Chris just makes his way into the studio. And we have a birthday to celebrate from a very famous and very good vocalist, a brilliant vocalist, actually. I'm talking about Robert Plant from Led Zeppelin. And this song always reminds me of Top of the Pops. So you might know what it is. And cast your mind back to the amazing music show, which is still broadcast. Old episodes are broadcast on BBC. I notice a lot, so I'm going to let you listen to A Whole Lot of Love, showcasing Plant's vocal range and the famous high notes at the end, or towards the end of the song. So happy birthday, Robert, and we will play some Led Zeppelin for you right now.
Give you my
Play two songs there, just to give a bit more time. Led Zeppelin's Whole Lotta Love to celebrate Robert Plant's 78th birthday, so happy birthday, Robert, once again. And thought we'd play George Michael's Careless Whisper, 42 years since that released.
Wow.
And Chris has joined us, so hello, Chris.
Hello, Oliver, how's it going?
Good, thank you. It's good to see you again. It's been a while.
It has, it's been a while. I mean, it's so good to be back here. I mean, always a pleasure to be back here. And you know what? I can't wait to move into this new building. I really can't.
Same here. I'm looking forward to what it brings, how it looks. I've not had a chance to visit this ongoing site yet, so
well, it still needs a lot of there's a lot of improvements being made, but there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. So they're looking at possibly September, but honestly I think it's going to be a little bit later than that. I think possibly
I don't mind the wait.
No, I don't mind the wait.
The longer the better, because they can just do what they need to do, work hard, and yeah, we'll have a perfect state-of-the-art studio.
Exactly.
Not that the studio's not great, the studio's fantastic.
It is, yeah, yeah.
I'm looking forward to the change.
I am as well. I mean, I think it's going to be realistically... Well, I think September's a little bit optimistic, but I think possibly if we might be either end of the year, beginning of next year, that would might be...
Makes more sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, and I mean, because it needs a lot of work. I mean... I don't want to spoil too much because, like I said, I mean, for our viewers, because we'll tell you more we'll tell you more when we actually move into the building. Let's just say that.
And just to remind our listeners and fellow staff who may be listening too, it is at the old Tap and Barrel pub site in Castlegate. However, the bar is actually going to be redone as well, so the bar will be included in the downstairs part, whereas the studio will be upstairs. So,
yeah,
looking forward to a post-show pint with everybody.
So, oh, and by the way, I've got a review of a film that I've been to see a couple of weeks ago that I haven't mentioned for a while. It's called Spider-Man Brand New Day. Have you seen the new Spider-Man film?
I have.
I'm surprised, really. In a good way. No, it's a great film, by the way. I thought a certain character would have got a bit more, had a bit more screen time.
I know I don't want to give it away.
Yeah, a certain villain. Yeah, I thought a certain villain would have had more screen time in this, because I was expecting like it is a street level. It's low stakes. It's a street level kind of film. So it's like street level crime and stuff like that. I was expecting, like, gangsters, kingpin, stuff like that.
Like a Daredevil.
Yeah, you know, like a crime boss or a hammerhead, something like that.
But, no.
But it's not... There's some of that, but it's not there. But, again, like I said, I don't want to spoil too much into it, because it's a good film.
It's hard not to go into too much detail without spoiling, so we have to keep it, like, minimal. But those who have seen it will know where we're coming from.
Yeah.
It's still around in cinemas, of course. If you haven't had the chance to watch it yet, it's a great film. I'd get yourself down there.
I mean, if you've read the comic, which is based on the comic, there's a few characters in that comic that's not in the film. Mm. I will say that, but I'm not going to say who's not in. But if you do like Spider-Man, I mean, great film. I'm looking forward to actually Doomsday as well, Avengers Doomsday.
Not too far away, we're getting closer and closer.
Yeah.
Christmas time, it'll be
this is not confirmed, this is actually a debate we're going to have. Do you think he is a variant of Tony Stark, or do you think he's just a completely different character? I know he plays Victor Von Doom, that's his actual name. But do you think he's actually a variant of Tony Stark that's gone evil?
Gone rogue.
Yeah.
It could be. I mean, it's the same actor, of course, Robert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
So it's possible, but I'm not sure if we'll see Doom unmasked or anything, because he is famous for the big metal mask that he wears.
Yes.
Although, I remember this completely different franchise, but the original Fantastic Four films from the 2000s, 2005 and 2007, he was unmasked first, and they showed how he gets his mask. So
yeah, yeah.
Whether they'll do that with Doomsday, because he has made, spoiler alert, if anybody's not watched this, but he has made a couple of cameos in post-credit scenes in some of the Marvel films within the last year. Fully masked in costume as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And do you know what would have been interesting? Because he wasn't going to be the original villain in this film. It was going to be Kang the Conqueror.
Yes.
It was going to be the Kang Dynasty, and was it going to be Secret Wars or something like that after it? Or was it something else? I couldn't
tell you, if I'm honest.
Yeah. I'll have to look that up for you later on, ladies and gentlemen. I think it would have been an interesting take if they carried on with Kang the Conqueror, but obviously he couldn't have the same actor because, unfortunately, what he's done. I would have recasted him with another actor and see where it would have gone from there, because it left it open after... If you've seen Ant-Man and Quantumania, like I say, I don't want to spoil too much for people who haven't seen it, but there's a certain post-credit scene.
Yes, I remember.
That could have led to the next one, but...
Who knows?
Who knows? I mean, but Doomsday, I mean... I'm surprised Robert Downey Jr. has got Doomsday. Was playing Victor Von Doom. I would have expected someone like either Jared Leto or Cillian Murphy. That's
Cillian
my opinion.
Murphy would have made a perfect Doom, actually, thinking about it.
That's my opinion. I mean, it would be great.
With Jared Leto doing Morpheus as well.
Yeah.
And Then again, if he's in the DC universe as well when he was Joker in Suicide Squad. But there's been loads of Marvel actors who've gone over to DC.
We're not mentioning about that Joker because it wasn't...
I think the show...
wasn't the best Joker, was it?
No. 10 years ago, by the way, Suicide Squad. Oh, already.
I can't believe it's gone, hasn't it?
Yeah. I've got it on DVD still. And I managed to watch the second one when it came out as well. But we won't get into Jared Leto's Joker because... Not the best topic to talk about.
No, but I am looking forward to, actually, speaking of Joker, I mean, I am looking forward to the Batman Part 2.
Yes, that's the next...
That's the next in the trilogy. It's if you haven't seen the first one, I recommend seeing it.
I saw it at the cinema.
It wasn't your typical superhero film, I would say. I mean, it was more...
It was more like
a crime drama, more... It's more like a, if you, how do I put it? If you watched Seven with Kevin Spacey and Brad Pitt, and if you watched that, it's kind of similar to that. But I mean, there is some superhero moments, but it's not your typical superhero film. It's like I say, it's more like a police crime drama. It's realistic, yeah. It's realistic. It's grounded, and. I mean, it'd have been interesting how they're going to turn his rogues gallery into that kind of film because, I mean, the Riddler, what we've done with Riddler was fantastic, making him into like a serial killer based on the Zodiac killer he was supposed to. But there were rumours that they were going to like try and bring in Mr. Freeze, Poison Ivy, Clayface. How would you have done that? How would you have made Clayface? Because
and he has got the film coming out as well.
Yeah.
So it would be interesting to see how they go about with that.
But I don't think he is going to be part of a DC universe. I think it's just separate. A separate film.
Like what Sony and MCU, they're separate.
I meant like the Batman Part 2. And that's a separate
film.
From the DC universe, yeah. But it would have been interesting what they're going to do with Mr. Freeze and that. I mean, would they use, like, liquid nitrogen as a weapon? I mean...
That's his main weapon, yeah. I suppose. He has the freeze gun, I think it's called.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you can't keep somebody who's going to be super cold in a suit, can you?
No.
But you can be... You can have use liquid nitrogen for your crimes and stuff like that. And as for Poison Ivy, I mean... What would you have done to that? Would you have made her into a scientist that works on poisonous plants?
And then gets transformed. And, just like the origin story.
Well, I wouldn't say transformed, because you can't have her transformed when it's a realistic... But would you consider having her as a psychotic scientist who worked on plants, who's got poison and poisoned people with...
It could work.
You know, well, that could it's work,
up,
couldn't
it's up
it?
To, it's up to DC and the film creators, so...
So...
But it's an idea. It's an idea. Yeah. Something to think about.
I mean, I think if you're going to go down the route which he has... Which... what's his name? Matt... What's the director's name now? I'm so sorry.
Put me on the spot as well.
I'm going to have to look it up now. What's his name?
I'm just trying to think.
I can see him
now. It's on the tip of my tongue.
Yeah, same here.
Do you want a quick music break whilst we find out?
Tell you what, we'll come back to you later on that. But yeah, we'll have a quick music break on that.
The next song is another birthday, but this is a posthumous birthday. The great Phil Lynott, who would have turned 77 today from Thin Lizzy. This song has been covered many a times by the Dubliners, which was one of the originals, and Metallica. But this is my favourite version of the song, and it is Thin Lizzy with Whiskey in the Jar. Thank you.
swore that you loved me. Never would you leave me. But the devil take that woman, for you know she treat me easy. Must you ring dum a doo dum a da?
Thin Lizzy and Whiskey in a Jar.
It's my favourite edition of the song. It was an old Irish folk song, actually, from many, many years ago in ancient Irish history. And as I said, it's been covered many a times, the Dubliners and Metallica. Mm-hmm. But that's my favourite version of the song. And singing about a lovely drink, because Irish whiskey's very scrummy indeed. A bit too you know, scrummy.
You know what? You make me very thirsty there.
Well, mean, we've got the pub in the new place, so wait a bit longer.
Well, if you won't. But I've got to tell you something. We actually found out who the director of that... It was Matt Reeves.
See, I knew it was a Matt, but
we just couldn't remember the surname. No, but it's going to be interesting what we're going to do with Batman Part 2, because there's been a confirmed villain returning in this one. We've got the Joker. The Joker's coming back in this one. It was played by Barry Keoghan. We've also got which has been confirmed. Harvey Dent, Two-Face.
It'd be interesting.
Well, to be honest, I thought Harvey Dent would have been done to death, to be honest, because we've seen him pretty much everywhere, but it remains to be seen, doesn't it? So anyway, we're going to have to play. We're going to move on now, because we've got an interview with my cousin Mark talking about his latest book. So we're going to play that now. So, and I'll tell you more about the details of the book after the interview. Hello, good afternoon. Welcome to Commuters Live here on Sheffield Live 93.2 FM. And I'm with my cousin, Mark Holton. Good afternoon.
Hey, Chris. Hey, it's lovely to be here. Thank you.
Well, thank you for joining me. How is it at your side?
Yeah, you know, I'm down here in the southwest. As you know, Sheffield boy, I was born up there, but my parents moved us away. Down in the southwest, hot as hell, quite possibly the same as up there, right?
It's really, really warm in here. I mean, it feels like a sauna. I mean, it's unbelievable. But hopefully it'll cool down one day.
Yeah. But I'm not going to complain about it. You know, I'd pay good money to go somewhere nice and hot on holiday. So try and enjoy this side of the world when you get the chance.
Well, definitely. I mean, you know, it's amazing, isn't it? I mean, we moan when it's too hot and then we moan when it's too cold. We're never happy, are we?
Yeah, British prerogative.
So, I mean, you're an author. So tell us a bit more about how did you start?
Yeah, so I tell you what, genuinely, always wanted to write a book. I've been an avid reader all of my life, but I never really thought I could have the idea, let alone draft it into a full-size story. And believe it or not, I actually had a dream one night, and in my dream, I came up with the idea for a story about dreams. So yeah. I actually woke up, and it was one of the few fleeting dreams that stuck. I made a few notes, and actually over the course of a few years, managed to turn it into a couple of books that I'm very proud of.
And who are your main inspirations? And also, there's a second part to this question. If there's anybody that you could work with in the near future, who would it be and why?
Oh, yeah, good questions. You know, inspirations, like many of us, I suppose, I'm inspired and supported by the family around me, by my wife, Nick, you know, the kids. The kids are always there to either make you laugh or pull your hair out one way or another. My parents have always told me I could do anything. I could achieve anything. And you know what? You'd be surprised what that kind of unflinching support can stir you to do. Doesn't mean I'm better than anybody else. It just means I always believed I could do, I could push further. So yeah, friends and family, I've been very fortunate through my life, been supported, been looked after, been surrounded by optimism and positivity. And that just breeds in me, which is good. And if I could work with anybody, you know what? Genuinely, I mentioned this to you earlier, I'd like the books to become films. And I'm pretty sure Jason Statham should play me.
So Jason Statham, I mean, who knows? You might be listening to this right now. And I mean, who else would you have that would star in your films other than Jason Statham?
Well, you know, it'd be interesting. So I tell you what, I am going to show my age, losing touch. The characters are all late teens. So a very, very tough time of life for young people, a different world to that which I grew up in. You know what? I don't know. I'd probably go for some crowd appeal, and I'd get the kids to give me some ideas. Certainly one of our sons, he's got a bit of an acting pedigree. I think I'd let him audition. You know, he might enjoy the chance. And then and who knows? You know, I don't know. Maybe let's put Tom Holland and Zendaya in there. They always sell movies, don't they?
Oh, definitely. And you know what? I can't wait for Spider-Man, I'm telling you something. I mean, great actor as well.
Yeah. Well, you never know, Chris. Maybe you're the springboard to make it happen. It could be a whirlwind for the next few years.
Who knows? So watch this space, gentlemen.
Absolutely. See, that's the positivity coming in again.
And I want to ask you as well, I mean, for anybody that wants to like write a book, what advice would you give to our listeners?
Ah, you know what? That's good. That is good. When I was ploughing through a little bit of research, I read that there were maybe two main ways to approach a book. Either you sit down and you jot out in brief the steps, the story, the storyboard. You know, you follow it through from start to finish, and then you come back at it slowly and you flesh it out. Or you do what I do and you just start writing and then you scrub a few pages and you start again and it takes a twist and it takes a turn. And I kid you not, the book's endings were as much a surprise to me as they were to any reader, or as they will be to any reader. In fact, I remember coming home one afternoon and I was 3/4 of the way through the second book. And it was only then I said to Nick, I said, hey, I've just realized how the book ends. And I spent the next couple of months writing quickly and super excited to actually get to the finale. So that's my advice. Have some confidence in yourself and just go for it. What's the worst that can happen?
Sure. I mean, exactly. I mean, if you don't go for it, you never know, do you? So definitely agree with that. I mean, you know, everybody needs to have a shot in life. And like you say, if you don't take that shot, you're never going to know the answer, are you?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the only failure is not starting.
Exactly. And I couldn't agree more, Mark. So, I mean, talk to us a bit more about Dream Eyes. So tell us a bit more about the plot. Don't give too much away, though.
Yeah, you know, like I say, so it's centred on late teens. There's a core of four characters, three young men and a young lady. And one of the guys, the lead character, I think he's always had incredibly vivid dreams all the way through his youth, all the way through his young life. And he thought everybody's dreams experiences were the same. Now, he could control dreams, he can manufacture, manifest, move around, enjoy. And he didn't realize that everybody else kind of had the dreams that were given to them as opposed to the dreams they created. And it turns out that he comes to realize he is actually in a real world, not so much a dream world, and that he has powers over that environment, in that world. You know, and as he delves deeper and deeper, it becomes darker and darker, and he meets other forces, and he has battles along the way, and he meets characters that inspire, and it's constantly a sleeping, waking, sleeping story. So, you know, he has his waking world and how the dreams are impacting and hurting and stretching his relationships in the real world. And then he has his sleeping world where he's met with fear and adversity and struggles. And it just over the time, over this age, I don't know, a few months, it just works through that story, introducing characters in the real world, introducing characters in the dream world. And, you know, the real beauty of it is, because I do have a strange imagination at times, but if you're writing stuff in a dream world, there are no boundaries. You can invent whatever you want. You can just let your mind go bonkers and it won't matter because there's no rules. So that's what I enjoyed, actually. That's what I enjoyed. And if, you know, I've grown up reading horror, fantasy, supernatural. If you like that kind of genre, then I think you'll find something in Dream Eye to interest. And I wrote it intentionally, you know, without any tech, without any swearing, without any extremity, because I want it to be accessible. You know, you can tell a good story, and you can be shocking and exciting without being OTT, I suppose.
And I mean, what was the first book that you read, Mark, that captured your imagination and thought, "Gosh, I really, really want to write a book"? What was that book, if you can tell us?
Yeah, that is a great question. You know, I remember growing up loving horror movies. I've always been a bit of a vampire aficionado. I'm not entirely convinced they aren't real, but that's another story. I think the first real achievement in my reading life would be The Lord of the Rings. Absolutely love it. I didn't finish it the first time. It's just too big. It was too heavy. Literally too heavy. I had to put it down. But when I got through it, I've never looked back. It always impressed me, the depth of the storytelling, the world that these people can create. Their minds must be immense. You know, so Lord of the Rings was there. And then in more recent times, the Game of Thrones, you know, that's 8 books, soon to be, with any luck, 9. But again, the guy just created a world. A whole world filled with stories and crisscrossing and intrigue. And I'd love to think I was capable of things like that, but I know I'm not. I'm not. This is on a much smaller scale. But it's interesting to see how far you can go when you just start pushing and prodding at the rules.
But saying that wrong, Mark, I mean, you are on the stepping stones right now. So who knows, you might be able to make a world of your own in the near future. You never know.
Yeah, and you know what? It is a new world that I've written. The first book is maybe a little slower than the second because you try to invest time and energy in creating the world, in creating the characters, in making them believable and relatable. The second one, I feel, is much more fast-paced because I'd done all that groundwork and I could just run with the story. You know, I could run with the story. And you're right. You know what? Fast forward 10 years and maybe I've written third book, fourth book, fifth book in the series. And then it becomes, it'll never be Game of Thrones, but then it becomes comparable, maybe, you know?
Exactly. And, have you got any plans for how many books that you actually want to write in the series, or is it still a work in progress at the moment?
Yeah, you know, the first book I thought was going to kill me at times because it just took so long in your free time. But I intentionally left it on a cliffhanger, knowing that who I am would never be able to leave it behind. And I had about a year off and I came back and I started writing it. And the second book does finish the story. I needed to put a pin in that, but it also left it open for that world to continue. So yeah, I will. As soon as my juices are flowing, I will be back at it and I will start to create. And like I said, I don't need to know how it's going to end. I just need enough of an idea to feel strongly about putting it to paper.
And I want to ask you as well, I mean, during when you made the books, was there any ideas that you wanted to put in but you intentionally left out for maybe a future sequel? Or can you tell us, I mean, or is it all secretive?
I'll tell you what, I would love to say yes, that I've got all these ideas squirreled away, but no. If they seem good, I put them down at the time. You know, they were in. When you're in the middle trying to, and you know, I was focused on a word count. I wanted the book to be a full-size novel aimed at late teens, early 20s, you know, young adult fiction. So typically it needed to be between 80,000 and 100,000 words. So you kind of always got a mind on the size of the book. And if I had a decent idea, because I hadn't storyboarded it out, I just wove it in. Mm. You know, I wove it in. I put all the little jokes I could think of. I invested time in the quirky little characters. One guy, he makes me laugh to this day. If I read back sections of that book, I am rolling by the time I've finished. So it's all in there. But yeah, over the next year, 2 years, however long it takes me to get started again, all the experiences, all the relationships, all the interactions, they're all building up and they're all going to come out.
So again, watch this space, ladies and gentlemen, I will say that. And I mean, how long did it take for you to write the book? I mean, was it a long process or did it come together quite quickly?
Yeah, again, you know, it varied. So I worked full time and I did it in my spare time, in and around the most important, which is family time. You know, so I just put the pen to paper or the fingers to the keyboard when the chance prevailed. And sometimes it was really slow and I didn't do anything for weeks on end. So the first book, end to end, took maybe 2 years. And it was in bursts of enthusiasm, bursts of imagination. The second book, because the ball was already rolling, you know, the ball was rolling and I had the bit between my teeth, did it a lot faster, wrote it a lot faster. There was less developing required. It was just more fun, freer, faster, entertaining for me as well. So the second one maybe took a year. But to be honest, because I'm just doing it for myself and, you know, publish them for myself, because there's nothing like the day you hold that book for the first time in your hands. You know, yeah. I won't kid you. The first book did put me with a few tears in my eyes. But that's okay. That's only human. So I did it for myself, but I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it. And if I could choose a career path, then this would be it.
Great. That's great to hear, Mark. And I mean, if you, like you say, if you're enjoying your job, then that's it. That's all you really need to do and really focus on, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they say, that, don't they? If you enjoy your job, you don't work a day in your life.
Exactly. And I mean, so is there any, when you've done this series of books, I mean, what would you like to do next? Would you focus on like any specific genre, like horror or science fiction?
Yeah. Yeah, and so I'd carry on the theme because I am genuinely loving the characters that I've written, that I've developed. I really am. And you know, I know who they're occasionally based on or, you know, loosely based on. So I would continue it. And like we said earlier, where it's a dream world, anything goes. So I have dream sequences, which I would consider romantic. I have dream sequences I would consider scary, funny, terrifying, relatable, you know. So you just write whole pages. You know, I get people to tell me what the weirdest dream they've had is. And if it's weird enough, I try to write it into the book in some fashion, you know, and I build it together. And I draw upon all the films that I've enjoyed, all the stories that I've enjoyed, you know, the various characters and anything really that's ever triggered my imagination. It's because it's the dream world, I can just gently slip it in and hopefully improve the read for those that buy it.
And I mean, for anybody that wants to buy the book, I mean, how can people get a copy? Is it in bookstores? Is it online that people can get it on?
Yeah, like everything these days, online is easily the most direct and convenient way, I would say. Amazon, absolutely. And it's sold as a Kindle, electronic copy, paperback and hardback. You know, and I didn't know this, but these days books, certainly books bought online, are printed on demand. So that book, if you order it today, it'll be printed overnight and dispatched the following day. That's like brilliant. Didn't know they did that. If you get a bit of traction, then you can hope to be, you know, physically on the shelves in a bookshop. And that'll be my next step. That'll be what I'll look to do as we go forward.
Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time. And my final question for you is, what would you like to say to our listeners who is currently listening to this right now?
You know what I would like to say to everybody? There are no boundaries on what you can achieve. And I'm not saying you can do anything in the world. What I'm saying is set yourself a goal and go and see how far you can get towards it. I guarantee you'll be better for every step you take.
And I couldn't agree more, Mark. Mark, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Chris.
And that was Mark Holton, my cousin. Thank you so much for joining me. I've got 15 seconds to say this. If you want to find out more details of the book, it's called Dream Eye. You can follow us on our Communities Eye Facebook page on Facebook. Thank you very much. Take care. Goodbye.
Goodbye.